Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And today we are going to be talking about that nightly habit of drinking and if it's sabotaging your energy and making you fat. So the premise for this podcast comes a little bit from some of my patients I've been seeing lately that it's kind of an overwhelming amount of ladies I've been seeing lately that are coming into the practice and they're noticing that they're not able to tolerate wine anymore and they're getting a belly and they've noticed that they've changed their diet, but with alcohol consumption, they have started to really get a belly. And when I say not tolerating wine anymore, they're starting to notice that the more wine they drink, the more they get a headache the next day. They just don't feel so good. Maybe they're gassy. Maybe they're bloated. Just not feeling so well. But they're bummed about this because, well, drinking wine and in the evening, it's a status thing. It's sexy. You know, it's not as cool as just drinking your Coors Light. No offense to Coors Light, but point being is there's this trend where wine is healthy for you. And shoot, if you can't drink your wine and, you know, be healthy, then what the heck? I think there's a lot of ladies in my practice, and I've seen some guys too in this case, but yes, it's a ladies thing, noticing that, yeah, they've been getting their bottles of wine and they go and drink them, and sometimes they disappear in a whole evening. Well, guess what? That isn't very good for your weight, your belly fat, and your liver to boot. No matter how many people tell you that there's resveratrol, this antioxidant in wine, and it's going to help you with all this amazing effects for antioxidants, well, that's great. But what if the amount of yeast that's in that wine is causing you to have some gut bug imbalance, so you're getting some gas and bloating, and the amount of alcohol that you're drinking is blocking your ability to have proper amounts of energy, and it's blocking your fat burn. That doesn't become sexy anymore. So today I'm going to talk about what I hear in my practice in terms of what my patients say and kind of relate it back to what alcohol really is doing in the moment when you are drinking it. So a lot of questions I also get with alcohol is, does it affect fertility and hormones? Yes, it does. I also get the question of how many drinks can someone have a day or a week and not have negative effects on the body? Well, that depends. And unfortunately, it depends on a lot of factors: your digestive health, your overall health, how much energy you have, and how stressed out you are. And I've noticed that as people get older, yes, it's harder to tolerate the amounts of alcohol that they used to tolerate when they were in their 20s and partying it up. And the reason being is because we have more damage to our bodies, we have more nutrient deficiencies, we're missing more of our natural antioxidant called glutathione. And so that's a big deal. A lot of us, you know, will think, oh, I'm going to stop drinking because it's the alcohol causing the problem. Well, yeah, I mean, technically, some of it's the alcohol, but it's also going into the drinking, what we're missing. And so I guess my point of this podcast is really not saying that I think people should stop drinking. I think it's really we need to go into drinking in terms of thinking, okay, why are we having these imbalances in the body? Why are we getting more hungover or feeling sick from alcohol? And why are we promoting drinking whole bottles of wine a night versus kind of keeping things in check, keeping that moderation component going? And in the same respect, if you're drinking, you know, something nightly, is it affecting your energy? Is it affecting your ability to lose weight? It very well could be if your metabolism is trashed already, if you're super stressed out already, if you're depleted in glutathione, you're depleted in B vitamins and magnesium. So I guess what I'm kind of going for in today's podcast is teaching a little bit about how to build up your body so that you could enjoy some drinks and not have as much of an impact on the body in the long run. Now, I think also one of the reasons why I wanted to kind of go through this podcast is we hear too often in the media. Drinking's good for you, drinking's bad for you. One glass of wine, two glasses of wine, and it's confusing. You know, what do I do here? Do I drink wine? Do I drink hard alcohol? Do I drink beer? What's best for me? What's best for my body? Well, I think it kind of boils down to where your body's at and how healthy you are in the first place. So, for example, a lot of us don't necessarily drink on a nightly basis, but maybe we go out with our friends or there's a wedding or something and we drink more in that particular time. Well, in particular, consuming five or more alcoholic beverages in just one night can affect your brain and physical activities for up to 3 days. That sucks. So in those 3 days after binge drinking, you're going to have decreased athletic performance, you're going to have decreased energy levels, you're going to have decreased cravings and moods. Now that's five alcoholic beverages. I don't often get to five alcoholic beverages. I'm a lightweight. I always have been, but there are folks that I know in my practice that drink five alcoholic beverages or the equivalent of five alcoholic beverages a night and have no idea. For all intents and purposes, a bottle of wine is four drinks. However, a lot of people go to those four drinks on a regular basis, and then they wake up in the morning and they're wondering why they're not building the muscle they want to at the gym, and they're wondering why they're getting belly fat, and they're wondering why they're completely tanked on energy and craving all kinds of sweets and carbs and things while having a bloated belly and being depressed at the same time. Well, it could be we need to figure out how to get that alcohol consumption in check, or we need to figure out more so what's going on in the body. So the more unhealthy, stressed out, and older you are, the amount of glutathione is going to be decreased. So glutathione is a natural janitor in our body. It cleans up messes. And when we drink, we use glutathione because we typically are going to have that glutathione going after the end product of alcohol called acetaldehyde. That's what makes us sick. That's what gives us that hangover. So by having more glutathione naturally in the body, you're going to be able to not feel as sick, not have that effect on your energy levels and athletic performance. But if your liver is already minimal in the storage of glutathione, you're not going to feel so good with the alcohol, and it's going to start to have more effects on you. And so unfortunately, this is something you really need to work on enhancing. One of the ways to enhance glutathione is to take in an amino acid known as N-acetylcysteine. That's one way. The other way is to work on eating a healthy whole foods diet, lots of fruits and veggies. That's going to help you to boost those as well. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Now, another biggie is how much you're drinking. Because if you're only drinking one drink a night, now your glutathione levels might be able to keep up with you and might be able to allow you to have that nice glass of wine for your resveratrol and your heart health, and it won't affect your belly health and your metabolism. So, something to keep in mind. Now, top that with being stressed out. When we're stressed out, we deplete B vitamins, we also deplete magnesium. And so B vitamins and magnesium happen to be the key components that are depleted quite fast in drinking alcohol. So if you're already stressed out and you're drinking to manage a really crappy day, well, guess what? Now you're going to be doubly depleted. And so that's a bummer. So a lot of times what I have people thinking about too is making sure that they've got a really good multivitamin on board that has higher amounts of B vitamins and zinc. Now, also, magnesium I had mentioned. I didn't mention zinc, so I gotta go back to that. Sorry about that. But the magnesium in particular, this mineral is awesome for helping us to manage stress, reduce anxiety, and being one of the ones that's depleted with drinking, I highly recommend folks to at least be getting in 500 to 1,000 milligrams of magnesium every single day just to manage their stress. And to be able to tolerate your wine drinking habit should you want to. Now, zinc in particular is a biggie because if zinc's depleted, that's going to deplete your immune system. And I commonly notice that a lot of times when people have gone on drinking binges after a party or something of that nature, they often get sick. And it's oftentimes because of the zinc being depleted in the body. So something to keep in mind. One of my favorite multivitamins that has high, good quality amounts of B vitamins is Twice Daily Multi by Designs for Health. It's quite possibly my favorite one. It's only two pills. It's not like 80 pills you have to take to get these amounts of zinc in your B vitamins in. But it's huge because the critical B vitamins are thiamine, which is B1. And this guy is a biggie. B1 is huge in fat metabolism. And oftentimes when I test levels of B vitamins in folks when they're coming in with metabolism issues, this one's depleted. And B1 is huge because it also is involved in the formation of hemoglobin. This is what binds oxygen and carries oxygen to your tissues. So if you're anemic, it's going to be harder to bounce back from drinking because of this too. And anemia being depleted in iron stores, that's a huge one. A lot of people are just naturally. Ladies who have fibroids, ladies who are bleeding more with their periods, things of that nature, that's a problem. Guys aren't as anemic as much, but I have seen that too. So something to keep in mind. This is why I often recommend getting some regular blood tests on your metabolism to see where you're at, because quite possibly your metabolism could be slower because of age and stress and poor food choices perhaps too, and then combine that with alcohol and you've got a nightmare going on. And you could really protect yourself if you're knowing what you're depleted in. So thiamine, vitamin B1, great for metabolism and for binding oxygen, so you can get oxygen to your tissues. It's really great for workouts, keeping you going, keeping you running, things of that nature too. Now, another biggie that's depleted with drinking is B12. And this guy is critical for your healthy red blood cells, but also for your nerve cells. And so that's another biggie that definitely you want to make sure you know is on board and optimal there too. Now, folate is another biggie. That is often depleted with drinking, and it's involved in carrying oxygen to your tissues too. And that can have a major impact on your athletic endurance. So if you're noticing that you're not able to run as far, you're not able to keep up in the gym, you're not able to keep up with folks in the gym that you used to be able to keep up with, something to think about here, big time. So looking at these vitamins, and you can easily get vitamin B12 and folate tested at a regular doctor's office. They can do that. They can look at a whole anemia panel. Vitamin B1 is one that's often checked in that case too. So is zinc. I do recommend if you're going to look at zinc, you want to get red blood cell zinc and you want to get red blood cell magnesium if you're going to look at those levels, just because it's more accurate than serum, so blood levels. So you want red blood cell amounts of zinc and red blood cell amounts of magnesium. Now, zinc, like I had mentioned, it's an important role in your immune system, but it's also part of energy and metabolism. So if you're missing out some zinc, you could have some serious issues. Another biggie is zinc being depleted can make you estrogen dominant. And ladies in particular, this is an issue because it'll mess with our periods. It'll also mess with PMS and cause more PMS if you are, unfortunately, estrogen dominant. It'll also cause some weight gain. And this is a biggie because I have a lot of ladies drinking their wine, drinking their, you know, half bottles or maybe bottles of wine a day and wondering why their periods are horrible because they're drinking all this extra antioxidants. Well, guess what? You're depleting critical minerals in the body. So this is a biggie, something to keep in mind. All right. So another biggie I see is with regular drinkers, beer drinkers, wine drinkers, it doesn't really matter, but because wine is so sexy right now and it's really popular, I think most of my ladies I often will see drinking their wine, and guys too. Unfortunately, I'm seeing more and more yeast infections happening, and not just vaginal stuff. I'm talking like, I know I said that word, sorry. People are probably thinking gross, but I've seen mouth yeast infections. I've seen internal intestinal types of infections. These things can cause gas and bloating in the belly. Oh, it can cause a lot of other issues. It can cause a sweet tooth like no other. Insomnia can be another issue with this because we've got intestinal issues that are keeping us from sleeping. So one of the biggies too is with alcohol consumption. I really want folks to think about how it affects their gut because alcohol is an irritant to your gut. So if you have chronic diarrhea, you have chronic gas and bloating, take a look at your alcohol consumption because alcohol messes with the amount of glutamine. This is an amino acid that helps us to keep our gut cell lining together and can cause some leaky gut issues as well as gas and bloating. So another little public service announcement about checking up on that gut there. Another biggie for us is that a lot of us don't drink enough water. And so on a daily basis, we're sitting down to have our nightcap and our alcoholic beverage, and likely we haven't had enough water that's going to set us up for being more dehydrated and provoking hunger in the end. So this is a huge, big issue because I feel like a lot of people are missing out on their athletic performance. They could be doing a lot better and not blaming it on age because they're actually dehydrated, not that they're losing, you know, athletic performance. They are losing athletic performance, but it's not that in an age thing. It's a dehydration thing. And so drinking day in, day out, every single day is going to leave you in the morning even more dehydrated. And so I highly challenge everybody who drinks on a daily basis to make sure that they're drinking water all day long and drinking water after their nightcap, because unfortunately, that's a biggie. And being dehydrated can provoke hunger because the body's like, well, if you're not going to give me water, maybe food will have some water in it and I can get some water from there. And unfortunately, that can lead to more and more hunger, and now you'll have consumed more alcohol and food than you wanted to in an evening. So keep in mind that a lot of us are going to already be dehydrated going into our evening drink, and that's going to set us up for really tight muscles, possibilities for muscle pulls and strains, cramps, things of that nature. A lot of us blame this stuff on being old, but I have to admit, when I can get people dialed in on drinking water, it's an amazing thing. We don't end up having muscle issues. So huge, huge component here. Also, that imbalance in water in the body also decreases your ability to produce ATP. This is your fancy molecule that gives you energy. And so it's a huge thing here to maintain your hydration. And of course, if you're going to go out and party and you know you're going to drink more, you better make sure you stay hydrated, because that's another big issue. So let me give you a little bit of a thought process here in terms of how this works. So imagine that you are going to drink some wine. And you are going to drink a 5-ounce glass of wine, which is a normal kind of amount of wine. Well, that is going to cause your body to get rid of double, if not triple, the amount of water. So sometimes we will deplete ourselves triple fold. And even some research shows up to 4 times as fold, which I'm not 100% sure about. But for a 5-ounce glass of wine, to be able to literally, you drink that wine, but to be able to process that wine, you have to expel 15 ounces of liquid. That's a lot of lost water. And going into it dehydrated on top of that, holy cow. And so it also makes me wonder why there are a lot of folks in my practice that end up getting hurt at the gym when there's no reason really for them to be getting hurt. They're not pushing themselves to the limits. And if they are, even more of a reason for why they would need some more water. So hydration, hydration, hydration. Absolutely stinking key here. So the other biggie about that dehydration is that oftentimes your body will crave food the next morning after drinking. More so if you've had a good binge, but sometimes I have some patients that are finding that after they drink one glass of wine, they're so hungry the next morning. And unfortunately, when you start drinking, you stop the burn of fat in your body. And in fact, you also mess with your liver's storage of glycogen. So that's carbohydrate storage. And so if you don't have enough storage of glycogen overnight, so you're going to wake up and be hungry. And what that means is your blood sugar needs to be maintained overnight. And the way your body does it is it pulls from your liver and from your muscles. And if you're not able to store carbohydrates during the day in your liver and in your muscles, or you're storing minimal amounts, well, overnight, your body's going to need something. And so oftentimes we have restless sleep, and we also have issues with waking hungry, really hungry after a night of drinking, because the body's like, wait a minute, I need to fuel up and store glycogen. So something to keep in mind in terms of why the body does what it does after drinking. But also, if you're already depleted, so imagine this, I have another issue or scenario here. Folks who are doing low carbohydrate diets and drinking in the evening their red wine, Well, guess what? You have muscles and livers that are depleted in glycogen just from your daily life. Then you go and you drink alcohol, you stop your burning of fat, you deplete your glycogen. Guess what? You're going to always be hungry. And so that's going to make it really hard if you're trying to lose weight and maintain a healthy metabolism. So keep that in mind too. Okay, so let's jump off of that and talk a little bit about how stress affects your body and your drinking. So if you are stressed out, you're going to have higher levels of cortisol. Cortisol is your stress hormone. It's naturally there to help us wake up and go to bed. It rises in the morning to wake us up, and then it goes low in the evening to put us to bed. But alcohol will raise your cortisol levels. And with research, we found that wine raises cortisol levels the most. That's kind of crazy, especially since we've got a bunch of people who are really stressed out and they're drinking wine because they think it's healthy for their heart. But at the same time, it's messing with their cortisol. And I see a lot of folks who are super stressed out getting more and more wine on board because they're trying to relieve their stress. But unfortunately, the more stressed out you are and the more cortisol that you're putting out in the universe just from being stressed, on top of the cortisol that gets boosted from drinking alcohol, you're gonna have some problems. And the other biggie is that cortisol raises blood sugar. And so if you are eating junk food or eating your bar of chocolate with your wine, guess what? You're gonna have some problems in terms of maintaining your weight because those imbalances in blood sugar are gonna cause some nightmares for you. And this is why oftentimes we're gonna have increased hunger and cravings that goes on and on with drinking alcohol and having higher levels of cortisol. Alcohol also raises your dopamine and lowers your serotonin. Now, dopamine is going to elevate your adrenaline, but when it lowers your serotonin, it's going to mess with mood. It's also going to lower melatonin, which we use to help us to put us to sleep. So when alcohol is raising dopamine and lowering serotonin, it's kind of getting you amped. That's kind of that buzzy feeling you get. When you get that, what's going to happen is you're going to mess with your sleep-wake cycles because, like I said before, cortisol wakes us up and puts us to bed. Well, melatonin actually works in the same respect, but the reverse. Melatonin actually rises at night to put us to bed and lowers in the morning to wake us up. And so, unfortunately, when we want melatonin to be at its highest, we often are going to be drinking at that time frame right before bed. So this messes with your sleep and wake cycle. When you mess with your sleep and wake cycle and you're already stressed out, you're going to set yourself up for adrenal issues. This is the gland that produces cortisol. And so it's huge to consider if you already have insomnia, if you already have stress issues, where does alcohol fit into this? Well, it might be best to kind of take a break because you want to maintain your sleep-wake cycles. Those are huge. You mess with those, now you have long-term issues in the future correlated with blood pressure, weight gain, all kinds of things that you don't really want to mess with. So keep that in mind. If you're kind of thinking about drinking for stress relief, it's not always the best option. And going into drinking stressed out isn't always a good idea either. Now, of course, there are herbs and different types of supplements that can help you with that and help to regulate that so that your end result isn't a messed up sleep-wake cycle in the end thanks to the alcohol. So let's move from that and talk a little bit about drinking and athletic performance. Now, as we get older, it's tougher to recover from workouts. And the reason it is because we are nutritionally depleted. We're more stressed out. We have less glutathione than our younger counterparts. That's just natural because the more miles you have on your body, just like the more miles you have in the car, the more issues there might be. But you can prevent that. Because all too often I hear folks say, oh, as I get older, I can't drink as much anymore. I'm not recovering as well. Well, yeah, it's true because your body's a little depleted going into it. And sometimes, it's not that I'm promoting that I want everyone to get in their supplements and drink more. It's just the thought process in terms of, yeah, it's going to be hard. But if you build your body up and put the right nutrition in it and you give it good amounts of water and vitamins and minerals, you can recover a little better and also have better athletic performance in the long run. However, if you are drinking quite heavily, 5 drinks or more a night, you're going to have a hard time, no matter what, to recover the next day after a workout. Now, what I see in my practice is I have the people who will drink 1 to 2 glasses of wine a night, and they're complaining about not losing weight, and they're complaining about not gaining muscle, and they're having trouble sleeping, and they're having trouble after workouts. Well, the problem here is that alcohol, like I already mentioned, messes with your sleep. Well, your sleep is your time to produce growth hormones. Human growth hormone can be reduced as much as 70% when you drink alcohol. That's a problem, because as you get older, you reduce the amount of human growth hormone naturally. That just happens. Human growth hormone also is related to testosterone. You need testosterone to gain muscle. So if you're not gaining muscle and you're gaining fat and you're not getting the body you want after working out, you got to look at the alcohol component. You absolutely have to look at it. And two ways about it. If you don't want to quit drinking, you better get hydrated. You better get your minerals and vitamins in and do it that way and cut down the amount if you can. Or if you're up for it, I highly recommend just not drinking, saving your one glass here and there for every few days. Let your body process. Because day in, day out, drinking one day after the other, your body can't recover at all. It can't recover from the amount of alcohol. Because if you drink the night before your workout, your body's still trying to break down the aldehydes produced by the alcohol even into that morning. Remember, it takes 10 hours to recover from drinking alcohol. So if you had your glass of wine at 7 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock in the morning, you're just coming off, you know, of detoxing, basically, because by 5 a.m., that would be when that time frame would hit that 10 hours. So this is a big deal. And I think a lot of people don't think about that, because I have a lot of patients in my practice that they drink their wine at 7 and they go to the workout at 5 a.m., some of them even at 4:30. That's before that 10-hour time frame. You're spinning your wheels, wasting your time. Nobody wants to waste their time at the gym. You want to get what you want. You know, you want to get results. So if you're not getting results out of your workouts, really take into account what time you're drinking, how much you're drinking, and how depleted you are going into it. Huge thing. All right. So last but not least, the biggest issue here that I've kind of alluded to is drinking slows down the metabolism. For every gram of alcohol, you are going to have 7 calories. So it's closer to fat calories, because for every gram of fat, there are 9 calories. So technically, alcohol breaks down as if it is fat. It does not break down as if it's a sugar. It does not give us any energy. Alcohol slows down metabolism because it lowers testosterone. Testosterone is our fat-burning machine. It lowers human growth hormone overnight. It doesn't allow us to repair. It's a big deal. So 25% of alcohol consumed in a drink is going to be absorbed right away through the stomach. Boom, right in. And all of the bubbly drinks like champagne and sparkling drinks, those are the quickest to get absorbed. Then come the higher percent alcohol items, your hard alcohols. So like I said before, if you've got 10 hours being the average amount for a person to process a drink, you've got to think about that in terms of where you are going to be setting your workouts and where you're going to be at in terms of being able to increase your fat burn and nutrient absorption. So let's rewind this a little bit. I mentioned before, I've got a lot of people who drink their wine at 7 o'clock and they're already in the gym by 5 the next morning. Well, that's right at that 10-hour time frame. Well, likely a lot of these people don't eat before they go into their workouts. So they have no nutrients in the body. They're going in fasting, which is probably good to help for fat burn at that point, but it's not going to be great in terms of the overall process. So sometimes I'm recommending that folks either get their drink on a little earlier, or they're going to cycle their drinks so that you drink, and then the next day that you are going to be not drinking, so for example, you drink on a Monday night, then Tuesday, maybe you do a lighter workout where you're walking. Wednesday, so Tuesday night, you don't drink. Wednesday, you hit the gym hard. That can help you to increase fat burn and muscle gain. Highly important things to think about. And if you have a trainer, talk to your trainer about what your workouts are like. A lot of times I will have people saving their drinks for, say, Friday night and like Wednesday night, and that's what they do. And then they time their workouts around it so that the workout is definitely 10 hours I highly recommend 12 to 14, 15 hours after their last alcoholic beverage, so you can ensure that your body's kind of back into fat burning mode and everything. Because otherwise, you're wasting your time and spinning your wheels, which nobody wants to do. Okay, so I tell my patients all that you've already heard, but I also am huge in telling my patients in terms of if you're going to have alcohol at a meal, you want to avoid carbs and fat. Stick to the proteins and veggies because you'll at least get some of the thermic effect of that meal, and you're not going to store all the fat and carb that you just ate in that meal. Because unfortunately, if you're going and getting beer and pizza and fries and burgers, you're going to store all that, because as soon as you start drinking alcohol, you stop fat burn. You just absolutely stop it. And so that's a bummer. So when your body is shut down metabolically, there are some other huge components to think about, because a lot of us will drink and drink and drink. And then when we're done with our drinking for the evening, we've got this huge craving for fried fatty foods. That's metabolism suicide, because let's face it, we've all done it. I've done it. That's why hot wings are, you know, on the menus at these places. That's where fries are on the menu, because we all will get that craving for the fatty, salty items. And it's often what you're depleting your body of, because if you shut down fat burn, your body's going to want some fat. You're going to be depleting your electrolytes, and sodium is one of them. And so that's why we get that craving for salty stuff. So that being said, keep with the veggies and protein if you're really worried about your metabolism and trying to keep things in check. I'm a huge recommender of sticking with one drink, because I feel like moderation is better. Ideally, drinking only a few times a week, if at all, highly recommended. But I'll say that I do drink here and there. I'm not a nightly drinker, but I will drink here and there. And I find that I do better when I stick with one drink. I am a smaller person. Some folks are, you know, can handle more, but I usually do say that if you're gonna hit the liver with something and slow down your metabolism, don't hit it with a huge dose, especially if you're trying to work on getting your best body ever and be as healthy as possible. You're just gonna spin your wheels if you drink too much. Also, take your multivitamin daily. Like I said, I love the twice daily multi by Designs for Health. That's my favorite. Maybe even consider, if you're gonna go for an event like a wedding or something of that nature, consider taking a multivitamin before you go with a meal. Because the more food you have in your belly, the slower absorption of the alcohol. Huge thing to think about here. You do want to consider that. So, interesting component here that I just wanted to make a note. There is some research on the effect of alcohol and the particular type of alcohol and something called your HPA axis. This is your hypothalamic pituitary axis. So this is how you manage stress and produce cortisol. Now, a gal from the La Trobe University School of Psychological Science, they happen to be in Australia, because I had to look. I thought this was funny because I was like, La Trobe Brewing Company makes Rolling Rock in Pennsylvania. Is this a university supported by alcohol? Nope. La Trobe University is an absolutely different thing in Australia. Just found it funny because I'm pretty sure that they did not support this research, because basically the gal who did the research, Dr. Kokachev, I can't say her name right, basically said that beer confuses the system in terms of metabolic processing. Red wine fools the body into thinking it's eating. So cortisol and DHEA levels go down at first when drinking red wine. But when the body starts to realize that the red wine isn't a food, and DHEA and cortisol levels rise, increasing appetite. So I thought about this for a minute and I was like, huh. When I used to hit the red wine up pretty hard, in terms of maybe like a half a bottle to a bottle a night, I usually ate a whole bar of chocolate with it. That was like me thinking I was being healthy. I wouldn't eat dinner, but I would drink the alcohol and then have my bar of chocolate. I gained a ton of weight when I did that habit. That was not good. But, you know, I was thinking red wine, you know, and dark chocolate, a really high 80% dark chocolate. Like, you know, there's not that much fat in the chocolate. Never mind the sugar they put in it. And that my red wine had 14.5% alcohol by volume, and the higher percent alcohol wines are supposed to be better for you. Oh yeah, I gained a ton of weight. So, didn't work out. So this research study, let me get back to that. I digress here. The gal says that white wine shuts down your hypothalamic pituitary axis, meaning that your hunger is going to stay low. So it shuts down the communication between your adrenal glands and your brain. And oddly enough, you don't get the appetite stimulant. I don't like white wine. I think it's too sweet. But I did do a little research and found that Australian Chardonnays, and as well as California Chardonnays and California Pinot Gris, actually have higher alcohols by volume, so they're not as sweet. Sauvignon Blancs from California and some of the other white wines out there, and I can't say, I know Vignier is one, and then there's a Chenin Blanc, I don't know. I don't drink white wine. If you know how to say it, you go ahead and go on with your bad self and say it at home, because I'm not French. So anyway, apparently white wine, interesting fact, will not have you eating a bunch when you drink it. So if you have a problem with binge eating and drinking, there you have it from La Trobe University School of Psychological Science, not supported by the La Trobe Brewing Company. White wine is good to drink and not stimulate your appetite. So someday I'll have to test that out. At this point, not so much. Okay, so big deal with drinking 101, mixed drinks have sugar. Everybody kind of knows that if you've got a fancy drink like a mojito or something of that nature, that's going to mess with your blood sugar more and turn things into more of a nightmare. So I usually try to avoid mixed drinks unless there's a really delicious blueberry mojito on the menu at certain people's weddings. Wow, those are delicious. So, you know, for weddings, make sure you go in very well supported with your multivitamins, like I said before. So here's another crazy research component. Alcohol intake under 0.5 grams per kilogram. So in my case, 140 pounds, 31.5 grams could be the threshold to keep me from negative effects related to muscle wasting, fat gain, endocrine dysfunction, and performance issues. Now, that's athletic and in the bed. Now, interestingly enough, 31.5 grams, that's a lot of drinking for me. That's like two drinks. That would be, I don't think I could do that every single night and be okay with not have negative effects. So do the math on yourself, see where your normal level of amount of alcohol is and go, is that possible for me? If you can't do that level there, then you probably are older like me and need some more nutritional support if you're going to drink. The whole point is not me telling you in this podcast how to hack your alcoholic desires. It's more just making you think a little bit about, okay, where am I at right now in terms of what research says you should be able to tolerate. And then the goal is not to go out there and tolerate it and make yourself tolerate it. The goal is to, you know, keep in mind that you need to go into drinking very prepared. So keep in mind that every time you drink and then work out, that's not a great idea. I highly don't recommend eating then trying to work out. That's terrible for your body. A lot of people will drink after a sporting event. So like marathons, we're at the marathon end of the line, you've got that beer. You know, interestingly enough, most of the research says that alcohol after cardio is not a good idea because you already have depleted glycogen. So all of these marathons where they've got, you know, you get your medal and then you got your beer handed to you and then you go get some food. Well, remember, alcohol stops the processing of fat, but it also stops your ability to store glycogen. Well, if you just depleted your whole glycogen stores by running 26.2 miles, what the heck do you think is going to happen? You're not going to feel too good. This could be why there's lots of issues in the marathons in high altitude in Colorado. I'm just making jokes. But yeah, there could be some serious issues there because combine that with high altitude and then you've got a whole nother host of issues. Yeah. So that being said, drinking after weight training, though, may be the best time to drink. So what you're telling me here, research, is that if I go and do some CrossFit weight training kind of stuff, but then I don't do the WOD, so I don't do the cardio, I can drink? Very interesting. So the research says that it might be the best time for weight training to drinking alcohol after weight training if you keep your intake under 1 gram per kilogram. So if I take myself weighing 140 pounds and I divide that out, that's 63 kilos, you know, for me in terms of how much I weigh. And I divide that, that's 4.5 drinks. Yeah, that's not happening. 4.5 drinks for me, I'm a nightmare, ask my husband. Nobody wants that. So interesting research here. And it was based on males. So obviously males and females do have a difference in terms of alcohol ingestion capabilities. So interesting component. So something just to make you think and just go from there. Now, one of the things that I find interesting is that irregardless of the type of workout, really, when you compile all the research, it really does say that it's not best to drink after any workout because you want your recovery, you want to gain your muscle. And if I just did a bunch of weight training and then I drank after it, I'm gonna stop the ability to gain muscle. So if you're cool with staying at the same size you are and you don't want to gain any muscle, I guess you just drink a lot after every workout. Not cool. So moving on. So biggies here, just to sum up everything I've mentioned today, you want to make sure that you're staying hydrated. You don't want to skip meals during the day going into a drinking day. You want to eat low carb with your alcohol if you're going to eat with your alcohol, which I highly recommend. You want to make sure you take your multivitamins during the day to ensure that you aren't hijacking your energy stores. You don't want to mess with your muscle building capacity, and you also don't want to shut down your metabolism too far. And not be able to get out of it. Because the other issue here is day in, day out, drinking and depleting yourself and not repleting your nutrients can make you super tired, cranky, and have some serious issues with sleep and stress. So that's kind of the moral of the story. Plus, it's a big deal to stay on top of this because as we get older, we do become more, it's easier for us to become more dehydrated, especially on hotter days. We have less glutathione, that natural janitor to clean up messes in the body. And we're depleted in B vitamins because we have to keep our metabolism up and running, and usually we're more stressed than our younger counterparts. So keep that stuff in mind, especially with the stress hormone cortisol. If alcohol rises, cortisol causes it to rise, and red wine causes it to rise. You don't want any more cortisol if you are stressed out. So you might want to think about taking a break. Just a little note there. And, you know, keep this all in mind in terms of how you feel on a daily basis, because I think a lot of people don't really register in their mind that their nightly alcohol habit is the reason for why they have poor sleep, why they don't have enough energy, why they're not making the progresses in the gym that they want to, and why they don't have the body that they always wanted. It's a huge component here. So if you are looking for more ways to boost your energy and manage stress, I actually created a course designed specifically to help you with that. You can go over to my website at drjkrausnd.com and click on the courses tab for more information. I've got a series of different courses, and this one in particular is a biggie because it helps you to connect with what you might be experiencing as a result of stress in your own life and how it might be hijacking your energy and your metabolism. So if you're struggling with that, I know exactly what you need to do. You got to jump over to my website and check out my course because I can help you get things back on track. So we've come to the end of another wonderful podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this one here, and hopefully you've got a little insight in terms of how to keep your drinking in check or what to do to help you to not let your drinking habits sabotage your energy and make you fat. So I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in to The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips, and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.